We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Throws a matching pass upfield. Macy Tom Fields gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score for Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sees a whole burst through it. 20.
Back steps to tackle. Runs left. 25 still on his feet. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back, number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciappala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciappala with my co-host, my partner in crime. It's a long time coming, but here he is from Los Angeles Rams defensive back, Michael Stewart. Oh my gosh, it's been forever and a day, Mike, since we've been on the show. How's it going?
It's been a minute.
Been a hot minute. Hot minute. But
yes, indeed.
Training camp's a month away, a little bit less. It's about that time to start getting ready, start getting prepped, because the Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams, are about to begin defending their title. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. And yourself?
Doing just dandy. Living the dream. Living the dream.
I love it.
We got to thank our guys over there at Butting Heads for carrying the torch the past couple of months here. It's been a crazy couple of months on my end. And I think it's been a little crazy on your end from what I gather, but not nearly as much as mine has been. But still pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
What's been going on with you?
Hey, not much, man. We're just glad that got a little relief with school being out, and now we're just on coaching grandkids flag football and watching our number six, who will be a senior. We number our kids by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So youngest Stuart pup is going to be a senior next year. So excited about what he has coming up. But other than that, man, we're just, as you said earlier, living the dream.
Living the dream, living the dream. All right, so today's not going to be a long one. We're getting our feet wet back in the podcasting game. Just wanted to kind of touch bases and just ask a couple questions as we're heading to our training camp. And, I mean, it's typical. Usually you have a lot of question marks about can this team put together to win a Super Bowl. Now they've done it, and now the mission becomes can you defend it? And there's a price that you pay with that, like extensions to Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. That costs a ton of money long term. It changes how your salary cap is worked. Everything is a little bit different now. And with a salary cap table that is top heavy. And what I mean by top heavy is this. Your top four players on the roster right now, pay-wise, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, they combined make up almost $80 million in salary cap. That's expensive. That's expensive. Their dead cap hits right now are crazy. Aaron Donald's dead cap hit, we won't need it this year, but is 73 mil. Jalen Ramsey's is 47.8. Cooper Kupp's is 47.2. And Matthew Stafford's is 63 mil. So the Rams have a ton of money invested on the top part of the roster. And this is similar to last year, but last year they pulled it out. They pulled it out. What are your thoughts, good sir, on what we're looking at?
Well, you're hitting on a lot of good points, and that is actually one of my questions. How are we going to fare long term? This looks great if everything pans out, everyone stays healthy, everyone plays at a high level, but if any one of those guys get nicked up anytime during the year or some type of crazy controversy comes about, i.e. Baker Mayfield, now you're looking at a whole nother set of circumstances, but that is a lot of money tied into the top four or five guys.
Top four or five. By the way, the salary cap this year is at 205 mil, which is lower than, again, lower than the estimates that were out there just a couple years ago when the new TV contract came. I thought it'd be higher. I thought it'd be a ton higher. Yet the Rams are still $9.68 million under the cap for the rep. And that puts them in position to they're okay. Let's just say that. They're okay. If they didn't make an addition, so on and so forth, but they're going to live by the same formula they lived with last year. They entrust their top stars to win games for them with the role players developing and filling the gaps. And that is how they're going to have to do it. So with all that in mind, we want to come up with five questions the Rams have to answer this year to... I don't want to say win a Super Bowl. Defending a Super Bowl is really difficult these days. And the expectation is they'll be there in that mix. But let's just put it in the frame of five questions you got to answer to compete for a Super Bowl title this year. All right? How's that sound? Sound good?
That's awesome, man.
Not good? All right. So here we go. Oh, and by the way, that top four salaries does not include Bobby Wagner, by the way.
Right.
Which is interesting. So the Rams are really good at fitting salaries into their system. But we're also going to be losing some players after this year as well. So we'll see how this works with the guys they drafted. My first question is, how do the Rams handle what is very clearly the most difficult schedule in the league this year? That's my first question. How do they navigate this? How do their rosters stack up to what they're about to face? We've looked at their schedule, right?
Right.
Well, let's go through it real quick here. This schedule, week one, they open at home against the Buffalo Bills. They're Super Bowl contenders. They're legit Super Bowl contenders. Week two, Atlanta Falcons will be better. Week three at the Cardinals. Week four at the 49ers. Week five, Dallas. Week six, Carolina. Those first six games aren't too bad. Buffalo's tough. The Niners will be tough. The Cardinals will be tough. Dallas will be tough, but they're winnable games. Come back off the bye week seven. Here we go. The Niners again at home. The Bucks at Tampa. How do they want to... It just seems almost every time they play Tampa on the road, but that was the championship game. Never mind. The division game. Arizona, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Raiders, Packers, Broncos, Chargers, Seahawks again. So go ahead.
Yeah.
So here are your playoff contenders. Buffalo, Arizona, Niners, Dallas. Niners again, Bucks again, Cardinals again. Saints is unknown. Don't know about them right now with Peyton gone. Chiefs, Raiders, Packers, Broncos, Chargers. Holy crap, man. That's a tough schedule. How do you navigate it, Mike?
Yeah, that's a real schedule, seriously. And the way you navigate it, you're literally going to have to take it week by week. And so, yeah. And again, we always talk about the injury bug or certain guys getting nicked up at a certain time of the year always plays a factor. And that'll be for every team that's playing. But definitely for this schedule for next year, you know, par for the course. So 1 week at a time. And again, I just always remember the great Fritz Sherman would say, you know, let's get one more in the bank than the other guy as far as a win. So they're going to have to week by week and hopefully stack up enough wins to make sure that bank account puts you in the playoffs.
I mean, if I'm looking at the schedule, you know, and I am, to me, the toughest games are scheduled are Buffalo and San Francisco. And three of those games will be done in the first half of the year. And Buffalo, to me, I think they're the AFC favorite for the Super Bowl. I think they might be the Super Bowl favorite. They're that loaded right now.
They are loaded. But remember, they're going to have a little bit of a target on their back as well. And the fact that you come back, remember, we went to the NFC Championship in 89 and didn't see the playoffs the rest of my time with the Rams. Mm-hmm. The same team minus one or two players the very next year, you know, we were like 500 or whatever it was, 1990. So that's the thing you have as much as Rams won the Super Bowl. Oh, Buffalo should have been there. They still have to deal with, you know, how are they going to gel coming into a new year with someone to target on their back as well. And the high expectations brings a lot of whatever different dynamics on how guys, teams, coaches, organization approaches the season. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting.
I mean, I just look at it very simple. You got to keep your big five healthy. Your big five has to stay healthy. Stafford, Kupp, Donald, Wagner. I mean, those guys got to stay healthy. I'm missing one. Off the top of my head, I'm missing one. Ramsey. Those five stay healthy. You're going to be all right. You're going to be okay. And I kind of like that they're getting Buffalo out of the way early. Here's a frustrating part for me in the schedule. They're going to Green Bay again late in the year. What? Seriously, come on. It's annoying. Green Bay again at the end of the, late in the year. They did it last year, too. What is up with that? I don't know. All right. So that's my first question. What is your, if you have a question you want to, you're asking, what is it?
My first question, and we've kind of bounced around it, but specifically is, what is going to be the motivation this year for the Rams after winning the Super Bowl? You know what I mean? If you're, you know, the Patriots, it kind of became, hey, we're going to pretty much be in the Super Bowl every year just because whatever. The Rams, having had some Super Bowl history, a little bit of a drought until we won again last year. But again, what is going to be the motivation going into this year to get guys to play at a high level? Remember, last year, Aaron Donald was throwing around, yeah, man, I've accomplished what I need to. I'm getting ready to retire. And we're like, wait a minute. You're kind of young to be thinking that way. But that's not going to mean just because they gave you an extension that that actually changes how you feel or what you thought about, because you would have never really let that hit the airway. So that's kind of my big question. What is going to be their motivation to go out here to want to get back to the Super Bowl? Thoughts?
I don't think many fans want to hear my thoughts on this, honestly. But I'm here to give them anyways.
That's right.
But I think Donald was serious about it. I believe it was financial posturing. I'm not really sure I believe that, because everybody and their brother knew the Rams were going to extend Donald. Everybody knew they were going to do that. But we said this after the Super Bowl. I don't think, for example, that Sean McVay is long for the Rams. I don't. And why would he be? In today's world, where a head coach is worked beyond exhaustion to where he can go on and use a lot of those same talents that he has, his ability as a student to really just break down the game like he can. He could easily go make millions and millions and millions of dollars working for Amazon or NBC or Fox. He's not long for the Rams. I really believe that. And before anybody gets angry about that, you'd do the same darn thing too. If you can, you know, he's young, he's starting a family here soon. He's at an age in his where he can live the life and not have all the stresses that go with it. I wouldn't blame him one bit, and I honestly believe his time is coming. I don't believe Sean McVay will be the Rams head coach in 4 years. I'd be surprised if he was our head coach in 2 years. I would love it. I hope he's there for 20 years. But so I believe that in that respect, for some of these guys like an Aaron Donald, who's now above 30, for a Sean McVay, I think they know their time is coming. And I think that's the motivation. You want to be legends while you can, because nothing lasts forever. It's a new challenge for them. And in the end, by doing so, you're continuing to build a culture there. The thing I like about Cooper Kupp is the fact that he, you know, has his own office basically, and he was training up these young receivers and helping them develop. The Rams have that student teacher mentality, where building a legacy for the future is a big deal for them. Developing better, where I think is developing a future. So I think they have plenty of motivation there on different, you know, areas. You're building the culture. You know, that's your big goal. You know, some of your guys are going to be gone. I mean, do you see Sean McVay there in 5 years?
Hey, I have to agree. I think what you really are pointing out, DC, is the fact that in this day and age, you don't have to be Don Shula or someone to coach 20, 30, whatever plus years to go make money and or to make a name for yourself. He's got a few, you know, Super Bowls. He's, you know, done things, but he's also made a lot of money in a shorter period of time. The other thing I think you are pointing out is the fact that even though Sean McVay is young by age, he's been doing this for a while. So even though you go, oh man, he's only a certain age. Yeah, but if you've been really doing that since you left college, well, you've got, you know, 10, 12, 13 years already in the business of grinding. And from what we hear, you had to do that type of grinding to now put your place into a position to get a opportunity to be a head coach. Oh, I got that opportunity. I'm doing pretty good. But the amount of money that you can make now is kind of ridiculous. So once you hit that hurdle, yeah, I got enough money. I actually can retire yesterday. But now, as you said, I can go sit down here and use my exuberance, my enthusiasm to go talk on TV. How much stress is that? You know, pretty much all your homework is done by other people. You come in, production meeting. Oh, okay, that's what we're going to talk about. And you go for it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because, again, you know, certain things motivate certain people. But McVay, to me, he doesn't seem like he's motivated by money as more as he needs a goal to go after. So, yeah, I don't see him being too long because what's the reasoning? You know, they love you today, they hate you tomorrow. I mean, remember, we were kind of talking about, hey, man, this dude might, he might have to go.
Well, I never believed he had to go. I believed that he had, you know, he, like any other coach out there, I think he has his flaws. I think he, and I still think he has his flaws, but he, one thing really impressed me about him and that entire team is they were able to overcome those flaws late in the year and win a Super Bowl. I mean, the getting the 49ers monkey off your back was a big deal. But a lot of things that are a big deal. I just, when I look at this team and how they're built, you know, that formula has rarely ever worked long term. Not saying it can't. We've never really seen it. This is new for all of us. And when you have opportunities to go make money, to go make a living, and live in a less stressful environment, why wouldn't you do that? So Sean McVay, I just don't think he's long for it. All right, dude, your question, go.
So my next question is, and this might be, I don't know, a little bit off the rails, but I'm always former player, coach. You're looking at team chemistry. Seems like the Rams have that. But to me, this is my question. What is the connect or disconnect with not re-signing OBJ, knowing what he did to actually get us in a place to be in the Super Bowl? And, you know, for all intents and purposes, a lot of people feel, myself included, that, you know, he set the tone and that gave us that edge we needed early on in that game before he got injured. But he's not signed. It would almost seem like, you know, you would send a guy a thank you. Hey, man, we want you to be part of our team. Obviously, you still, in many opinions, one of the top receivers to play this game. So to me, what are your thoughts on the idea that they haven't re-signed him, even as a, you know, somewhat of a goodwill gesture?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Can you answer that first? I want to get some thoughts. I have some thoughts. Let me make sure we jive here.
Yeah. Now, my thing is, again, when you're looking at team chemistry and how you want your locker room to be, players will look at things like, go like, wow, I really am only as good as my last game. If I get injured here, man, they might just throw you out the window. The other thing is, the facts are now, as he's getting a little bit older, still somewhat in his prime, and you always have to look at what the injury carryover could be, a la running back who now is no longer in the league. I would imagine that has something to do. And who knows of what OBJ is really expecting as far as what his money and value is compared to time played over the last number of years and now coming off another major injury. I just feel that a guy like him, he's already shown that he will work hard to get back to where he was. But I always leave it to one situation is a lot of things, and I'm going to throw Deshaun Watson under some more buses. Teams kind of know what guy does off the field. So I don't know. Maybe they feel he's more into marketing himself or whatever. I don't know. They may have some other intel that we don't have. But from a player standpoint, you look at a guy who seems like gets along with his teammates, hard worker, and absolutely can play. And when you talk about the receivers that they have, I would still say he would have been, you know, one of the top guys. So that's kind of my take on it.
All right. So my view is that if you look, again, going back to the salary cap table right now and the adjusted salary cap, I mean, the total cap for everything, I believe, was make sure I got this right, because I think I may have said it wrong earlier. The cap sits at, total for everybody is 209. Top 51 is 219. But you add when you adjust for top 51, it leaves the Rams with 9.68 million in cap space. 9.689 million in cap space. Okay. How much do you think Odell Beckham would cost this year to re-sign?
Oh, yeah.
Coming off his second ACL surgery.
Yeah, he's still going to probably want upwards of that.
Well, my guess is he'll probably sign for around $9.68 million. The market value is a little higher, about 13.
Right.
But he won't be back immediately. So my guess is the Rams are actually holding that money aside for him. They want to see how the recovery goes. I think it's just that simple. I think they've talked about, I think the Rams want him back, but they want to make sure that when they pay him this money this year, that he can contribute. Make sense?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think it actually is. I think they have full intentions of reset. If you look at their depth right now at wide receiver, according to their own roster, Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Lance McCutcheon, Brandon Powell, Allen Robinson, Ben Scott Running. Okay, I look at Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and Allen Robinson as your big dogs. Brandon Powell's your kick returner. You're not really going to trust him in the receiving game. We saw Scott Rennick do a couple nice things and do some not so nice things. And Lance McCutcheon's a rookie. That receiving core doesn't, I mean, between Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson, it's a nice top two. Van Jefferson, we're still kind of waiting to see him
become more
than he can be. But there's definitely a place there, in my view, for OBJ. Especially since the Rams aren't really relying on a featured back like we'd like them to. And their running backs have been getting hurt like crazy last time. Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, all out. Kyron Williams is out now with an injury. Their draft pick. Jake Funk got injured. Let's see, it's a walking injury. It's a walking hospital for a running back for the Rams. So I think there's room there at the wide receiver position for our OBJ. I think that's, we're just waiting to see. We're just waiting to see. How's that?
Yeah, man. We definitely gonna wait and see, but I think there's some good traction we can gain from that. Absolutely.
I don't think it's anything personal on OBJ.
No, I wouldn't think it's personal, but you know, these things that obviously every decision you make as an executive is not gonna be loved or hated per se by everyone. There's always gonna have, you just gotta stick to whatever your game plan is. So, but I just always kind of look at these things and biasly from a player standpoint and just wonder like, you know, having seen some guys who you felt like, well, man, these are solid players for the Rams. They've proven themselves. Why are they having to either fight or they get released or whatever those things are? So this was just one of those things when I go, I wonder if that was Aaron Donald, would that be the same approach? I don't know. So I think that had OBJ been drafted by the Rams and all this other stuff, it would have been similar to Cooper Kupp. Yeah, man, you got injured, but we know what you can do. We believe in you. We go ahead and take care of it. So, yeah,
I definitely feel it. I mean, if you're bringing the Aaron Donald comparison, I don't think it's a fair comparison. Aaron Donald's been there for years. He's got the long-term contract. He has never torn an ACL, let alone the same one twice. I think the situation is just different. You know, but we do look at other previous, you know, Todd Gurley messing up his knee. It was never the same. They cut him. Brandon Cooks had concussion issues. They cut him. They've cut guys that you were like, oh my gosh, we were all shocked they cut him. So I don't think it surprises me they're kind of waiting to see, because, you know, why be the bad guys again by cutting somebody again? It's easier to say, hey, look, these medical reports on your knee, I don't know about, I don't think we want to guarantee this money. Yeah. That's where I think they're going with it.
I agree.
So, do you want to take the last question or want me to take the last question?
I want you to take the last.
Here's the last question. With Von Miller, now a Buffalo Bill, and given what we saw from Von Miller for the last part of the year last year in relation to the pass rush, with him gone, where did the Rams find their pass rush?
That is the question. That's so funny because that was one of my questions as well. Edge pass rusher. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what that is. You have some guys like, you know, Leonard Floyd, Justin Hollins, Terrell Lewis, but you know, the Rams. Go ahead.
None of them are Von Miller.
Exactly. But, you know, the idea is you have the best player. They don't necessarily need to be Von Miller. They just need to be solid game in and game out, you know, as long as you got that Aaron Donald guy on your team. So, but yeah, that's going to be, in my mind, like yours, that's a big question mark for this year, because in this day and time of the league, you have to have someone who can bring some pressure off the corner.
Yeah, I think you mentioned a good name, Terrell Lewis, but, you know, can he stay healthy? You have good young linebacker Ernest Jones. You have Bobby Wagner with them. I think those guys there and with Aaron Donald up front will free other players to move around, to rush the passer. So I think the name you mentioned, Terrell Lewis, is the key name there. That's the key name. In with Okoronkwo gone, you know, that was the guy I thought would have been a person they're going to be a pass rusher. They let him go. Trevin Howard, they just re-signed him. I think he bears watching as to what they want to do with him. They want to try and work with him in the rush. And what about up front with Greg Gaines, who we've seen get better and better with the pass rush, and this will probably be his last year here because someone's going to pay him money next year. That's how much he's improved. I wonder if those are the names they'll go out for. I think Terrell Lewis, like you mentioned, is the guy that we're probably going to see really kind of shift towards that stage.
Yes, indeed. As you said, you know, the thing is, if, you know, he can stay healthy.
All right. So there you go. There's our five questions. We want to open up to you. So as you listen to the podcast today, if you could email us at ramstalk1945@gmail.com. What questions do you want answered? What questions do you want? If you also want to respond on Twitter with it, send us your questions. What do you want answered looking into the season? Because there's probably a million more. We only took five today. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at TalkRams. We can follow me on Twitter at DC Paul. You can follow Mike at 1Duke23. Don't forget that the tour in the league will resume in the coming weeks. We also have a couple of interviews with some Rams books coming out. Kenny Washington book coming out July 13th. We're going to have an interview with the author, Dan Bishop. He'll be talking with us about his book. And, of course, the book that I was a part of as an associate editor, the 1951 Los Angeles Rams from the Professional Football Research Association. We're going to get George Bozek on to talk about that book as well. So lots happening as we enter the season. And any closing thoughts, Mike?
Hey, man, it's just good to be back, getting back going. And, you know, here we are getting close. Once we hit this 4th of July weekend, camp is right around the corner. So it's going to be fun to see how these things pan out, at least from my thought process. How about you?
I'm just excited to see a team defend their title again. You know, and it's going to be an interesting season. And I don't know what to expect. I can say this, over the years, we've predicted and analyzed a lot of things right in the show, but we've also been humbled by being wrong on a couple of things. And usually when we're wrong on a couple of things, it's for the better. So this year, I'm actually much more hesitant to make strong, bold predictions, because when you're wrong enough, you realize, you know, there's more to the world than just what you see in front of you. And the Rams proved us wrong a lot last year. I'm glad they proved us wrong a lot last year. How's that sound?
That sounds good, man. You know,
still things to question. Still things to wonder about. The pass rush to me is the big one. We'll see how they solve that. And they usually do. It usually involves draft picks and a trade. But they usually do. So if Terrell loses and doesn't work out, don't be surprised, right?
That's right.
All right. Have a great one, everybody. We'll be back soon. Until next time. We're out of here.
We're out. Peace.